Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm Bertie Brits, and it's a privilege for me to share the message of God's love with you in the area of grace and the fulfillment of the law. You know, so many times we try to walk by principles in the New Testament. You know, we want to say, no, we're going to prosper by certain principles. We're going to be blessed by certain principles. And we try to read the Bible to get principles so that we can see what we can do to get the kingdom of God to manifest in our lives. Now, that is not what God wants for you. God wants life for you, and that will just produce death. That's just the ministration of death, which is called the law, which I want to just clarify to you what the law is. The law is not the Ten Commandments. I believe the law is the mentality that says, by what I do, I'll become. And then there are 10 commandments, which are 10 things that you can do to become. So a law mentality is the mentality that says, I am not, I must become. The Bible says that God is I am. And then He says, when the Spirit comes over you, you will be. It doesn't say become. It says, you will be my witnesses. You will be my church. You will be my bride. You will be that which I have made you to be. It does not speak about become. The whole become mentality is exactly what the devil sold unto Adam and Eve. And I believe today we'll get a little bit into that. Where he said unto Adam, you can be like God, or you can become like God by knowing good and evil. So it was also a becoming thing, and wasn't I am already what God made me to be, or that He wants me to be. I have become that already. That was what God gave unto Adam. But we were always, because we are need conscious, because we are sin conscious, because we desire, we want more. And because we want more, we say, well, I've received the gospel of Jesus, but I still feel I want more. Instead of digging deeper into what you have already received for free, we start to look for principles in the Word of God, or what we call spiritual laws. Man, let me tell you this, the whole thing, if it's spiritual laws or principles or whatever, you can coat the thing the way you want it. You can candy coat the law, but it stays the law. There is one principle by which we function, and I want to read that principle to you. And you might say, Bertie, oh, are you also in principles? Let me just read it, and you understand what I mean. Romans chapter 5, and verse 19. And this is the principle by which we function. And you can apply this to finances. You can apply this to healing. You can apply this to relationships between people. You can apply this to every area of your life. Health, wealth, prosperity, immortality. I don't care what it is. You can apply this principle. There's nothing more than this. And if you add anything to this, the Bible, I believe this is the Word of God. Plagues will be added to you because you'll be under the curse again. You'll be under laws again. And if you take anything away from this, you're under the law again. So don't take grace away from the message of grace. Just preach grace, or just be in grace. Don't add laws or rules, because you are adding to God's Word. Amen. Now, we're going to read here from verse 19. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That is the principle of the New Testament. The principle by which God functions was, He gave a representative unto man. And that representative way years ago was Adam. And Adam, he sinned and he was disobedient. He was disobedient by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which brought death unto all of man. But then came Jesus, and through the obedience of one, many are made righteous. And this is God's principle. This, I'll make man, and I'll have one representative on behalf of them all. So I'll have a personal relationship with every one of them on the basis of the obedience of one. If Adam, years ago, in the Garden of Eden, never sinned, we would all have a personal relationship with God on the basis of his obedience. And then came, and he didn't obey, so all of us were broken from fellowship with God because of the disobedience of one. We were broken away from prosperity. We broke away from peace. We broke away from righteousness. We broke away from health. We broke away from immortality. We broke away from all those things because of the disobedience of one. And this is the principle. And this is how God functions. Then He placed another representative there, which was called Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ came and He represents you and me. And you know what He got right? He obeyed the law. Hallelujah. So that the law could be fulfilled. So that the very thing that Adam implemented between God and man, and we're going to look into that, could pass away so that we don't function by that rulership anymore. That we're not under the do's and don'ts anymore, but that we are under the new life that there is in Jesus Christ. Amen. So He says, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. So where sin could have a great hold on people, it's easier and more powerful to be under grace to have the life of Jesus Christ. That's the principle by which we function. There's no other principles. That's it. Apply that to finances. Adam, what did he do? He disobeyed. What happened? He had to, by the sweat of his brow, get finances and prosperity. How do we work in the New Testament? It's very easy. Jesus obeyed. He did it all. Every principle that must be done for you to prosper, Jesus did it. And you can just believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ and receive by grace. Hallelujah. That's it. And that's what I love. You know, I don't worry about finances. I'm in the rest of God. I rest because I know who God is. And this is the principle. I've got a representative who did it all for me, and I receive by grace. And because I receive, I abound. And because I receive what is given unto me, I have got so much that I walk in the very nature of God that I give. And that I bless people and give my life unto the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, there's no message that will produce the life of God in you except the message of grace. Paul said it clearly. He said, even if I, Paul, come, or an angel come and preaches another gospel unto you, not that there is another gospel, call us accursed. That's what Paul said. Now imagine, you know, so many people will come and they will say, you know, I've had a vision from heaven. You know, I've had a dream. I went and the angel then said unto me, if you haven't done these things, you cannot be blessed. And I don't care what that angel says. If it's not in line with the good news of God's message of grace, I just say that's part of the curse. That is all. I don't curse the brother or the angel or whatever. I just say you are in error. You're part of the curse. I cannot obey you. I'm sorry, my brother. I'm sorry, my sister. But God bless you. But go and study grace. Go and study the new covenant, the New Testament. You know, if you rent a house from somebody, and you've got a contract. You can't go on the contract that you had 5 years ago with a different owner. There's a new contract now, and you've got to walk by that contract. It's the same with the gospel. There's a new contract between us and God. Hallelujah. Why do we still want to walk under the old contract that does not exist anymore? Now let's quickly go to Matthew chapter 5. Because this scripture is greatly misunderstood, and I want to just clarify this. This is just going to bless you. If you've got any questions concerning this, ask in line of this scripture, because this is the scripture that I'm explaining. It says here in Matthew chapter 5, from verse 17, it says, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill or to do it. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no ways pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, so many times we read that scripture, we say, you see, the law will never pass away. Jesus came to enforce the law. Now that word does not, fulfill is not the word enforce. It means to fulfill. Fulfill means to do. To bring into fulfillment. So, the law could never be fulfilled because there was nobody that could do it. There was 10 commandments. Nobody could do all 10 all the time for his life. Nobody could do it. And nobody could do the right side of the law and pay for the side which where there's supposed to be punishment because of the disobedience of people. Nobody could do it. Moses tried, he couldn't. Elijah couldn't. Elisha couldn't. Enoch couldn't. Nobody could do the whole law. So the law was never done. Since the law was implemented, there was not one person that could do the law. So it was unfulfilled. It has not come to pass. Nobody has done it. So Jesus came and He said, I want to bring the law, or I want to do the law that was brought. I want to do all of it because it will never pass away if somebody doesn't do it. And heaven and earth can pass away, but not one point or comma of the law will ever pass away unless Jesus comes and He does it. What He's saying there is, unless He comes and He does the whole law and obeys the whole law, there will not be one man. Nobody. Heaven and earth will pass away, but nobody will be born that will be able to do the law. So that means the law will never pass away between man and God. It will never be fulfilled, so that the good thing that the law can do, which is to bless you, which is to declare you righteous, will never come over man. The law will always declare you unrighteous. The law will always declare you guilty. It will always pronounce a curse over you. So Jesus said, I don't want, and the Father also said, I don't want man to be under the curse. I don't want man to be under condemnation. I don't want man to be under punishment. I don't want him to be under guilt. I want to do the law on behalf of man so that by the law you can be declared righteous. So the law will declare you righteous because of the obedience of Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, and if we don't understand this, you're not going to understand the scripture. You need to understand this, otherwise the whole Bible will not make sense to you. Man, you can just go back to the old Jewish ways and just manflech yohara and wear all those things that you must wear as the Jews and get a whole thing over your head and go and pray in front of the wall again and hope for the temple to be rebuilt. You can go back to that then, slaughter some animals. We need to understand the good news of Jesus. We need to understand the finished work on what He's done for us. He says here that He came to do the law on our behalf. If we could do the law, then we would be declared righteous by that law. The law will say, you qualify. Now, this is the principle that I want to explain. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. For I am of this mind, that if one died, then all are dead. If one died, then all are dead. That means when Jesus died, you died. Isn't that wonderful? When Jesus died, you died. You know what it also means? It means when He obeyed, you obeyed. Because through the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, hallelujah. All we must do is we must believe in the God that justifies the ungodly. Just say it with me. Ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. But what we've got these days is we've got a mentality, and the church, and not just the church, all other religions has got this mentality that says that God will justify the just. You don't need to justify the just, they're just already. The big thing about Christianity is that God declares the sinners righteous because of the obedience of Christ. Free from their obedience. All that they need to obey is, like the Bible says in John, I think it's 1 John chapter 2 verse 23, around about there, it says there, this is the commandment that we must obey, to believe on Him. So there's one obedience for us, and that is to believe on Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that good news? That's the gospel. That's the good news. He says here that he came to fulfill the law so that if he could fulfill it, then it would pass away. Let's read it again. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Here Jesus says, he comes to fulfill the law or to do the law. For I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one point or one comma shall in any way pass, till all of the law and the prophets is fulfilled. So Jesus said, when he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is fulfilled. He came to fulfill it. Now, did Jesus do his job or not? Just answer that. Was he successful in what he did, or has he not finished his work? He finished his work. He says, I've come to finish the work of my Father. If you read it. And he has finished it. He said on the cross, it is finished. It is done. The law has been fulfilled. So if the law could not pass away till it's fulfilled, if somebody could fulfill it, it means it would pass away. So Jesus fulfilled it, and that means that the law has passed away. And that is, then he says there, wherefore, if anyone shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, or in that state, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And those were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the least, the teachers of the law. They were the least in the kingdom of God. And John the Baptist, he was the greatest in the Old Testament kingdom of God. And whosoever believes in Jesus is even greater than John. Because your righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. It will exceed the righteousness of the teachers of the law and even John the Baptist. Now, let's read it again. It says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men in that state, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now that is not written unto you. Because he says that he came to do the law. You've had your chance, man. You cannot fulfill the law. Just give up. Rest upon the grace of God. It's like being in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, trying to swim to a country 5,000 miles away. Give up. You need a boat. You need somebody to save you. You need a savior. Just give up. Don't try. You're not going to make it. So it's exactly the same here. He says he came to do the law. Because if he has not come to do the law, nobody would ever do the law. Then he goes on and he says, if somebody would break the law and teach it, he's least in the kingdom. So don't worry about these Pharisees and Sadducees. They are least in the kingdom of God. Then he says that whosoever shall teach them and do it, he shall be called great in the kingdom of God, or in the kingdom of heaven. Who's that? That's Jesus. He came, he did, and taught the law. Okay, so he was not against the law, he taught the law. This is what you must do, and I will do it. Hallelujah. And he also taught the law to the point of grace and mercy. And forgiveness. Amen. Then he says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus said, let me explain the whole thing. He said, the law will not pass away if I don't do it. I have come to do the law. Nobody would ever do the law. I'll do it. Anybody who teaches the law but commits sin, he is least in the kingdom of heaven. But I've come to teach and do the law. Why? So that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven, so that your righteousness can exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. That's what's written down in that scripture. And then he comes and Jesus explains something very powerful. He says here, you have heard that it was said by them of old that you shall not kill. But whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. So here Jesus comes and he lays the law down. Much more difficult than what the Ten Commandments really was. He laid down a very high standard of law. And then we take that teaching and we don't read it in context. And we start to teach these things as commandments unto people. Because, and then we say, you see, it's written in red, Jesus said it. Man, even if Jesus said it, it must always be seen in the context of his death, obedience, and resurrection. Isn't it? Hallelujah. That's how it must be seen. And must also be seen in his deeds. How did he act towards sinners? And with what tone of voice did he speak to them? What attitude did he have towards them? Hallelujah. It goes on. It says here, love your enemies. I mean, all those difficult things. And continues to just lay down a very, very difficult way of living. And then it says here in verse 48, it's even worse. It says here, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, if you want to say, listen, you must do these things, otherwise you're not going to enter into heaven, I've got news for you. You must do verse 48 as well, which says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Get busy with it. Let me see. I haven't seen one man that is perfect as God is perfect by what he does. Not one. I have not seen one man that could, not once have I seen one man or heard of a man that could ever live up to Matthew 5, 6 and 7. Not one. He was never born. He will never be born. The only one that has done that was Jesus. And if you're not willing to stand in his righteousness, you will never be righteous with the righteousness of God. You'll have your own righteousness, which is of the law, but it will not be of God, and it does not qualify to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's it. So it's either grace or nothing. Hallelujah. You know, with the law it's like this. It's close but no cigar. You try your best. You come close but no cigar. You cannot enter in. That's the way it is. So here the Bible clearly says in Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus came to fulfill the law. So if Jesus has done it, it is done. So you don't have to do it. All you must do is Matthew chapter 4. And let's read, Romans chapter 4. Let's read Romans chapter 4. And this is so powerful. It says from verse 3. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So I want to say this. If you believe today that God justifies the ungodly, your faith is reckoned righteous. You are reckoned righteous. Now, righteous is righteous. You're not partially righteous. If you believe that, you are righteous. Amen. And there'll be a manifestation of righteousness in your life because of the righteousness that is in you. Remember what I said, Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, you must go and read it in the message. Man, it is so powerful. Paul says, you know, if I do something wrong, don't judge me for that, because I don't even try to do right. I'm not under that. And the same with me. I don't try to do right, neither do I try to do wrong. All I do is I give over to the nature of God that indwells me. That's all. I yield to the new man. I yield to the message of grace. The more I yield to the message of grace, the more I see signs, wonders and miracles. The more I see financial prosperity, the more peace I find in my mind, the more power I find in my words, the more when I pray over television for the sick, I see them being healed and people being delivered from all types of bondage. Oh, hallelujah. Man, God loves you. I want to just pray for the sick right now. I believe God's just going to heal you, bless you, and you'll be prosperous in every area of your life. If you struggle financially, man, I've got a wonderful series out on finances. It's a 12-part series where I take every scripture concerning finances and just put the message of grace into it. Listen, it's not anything you've heard before. It's the good news, man. It's the message of grace. It's the teachings of Jesus. Look at the birds of the air. Neither do they sow or reap or gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them, for they are valuable to them. Are you not more valuable than they? The basis on which God provides for us is the worth that we have towards Him. And our worth is based on the finished work of Jesus and who Jesus is. Hallelujah. That perspective on finances, man, it's up for a donation of any amount. If you want it, just send your address, make a donation. If you cannot make a donation, I'll send it to you so that you can just be blessed and just get grace in the area of money. The Bible says he was rich, he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. And I think it's time that we take the message of grace and apply it to every area of life. Father, I speak blessing over every person that listens to my voice. I bless you with the righteousness of God that's in me. I say you are blessed. You are healed. You are prosperous. You are the righteousness of God. You are delivered from your past. You don't have a past. You've got a future in Jesus' name. Your past is the past of Jesus. You have died for your sins because of Jesus. You were 100% obedient because of Jesus. Receive your new past and receive your new future right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. People, God bless you and God loves you.